Thayer.
Oh, come on. You didn't blow the whistle.
Breaking down the Bears.
Mullen Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Tom Thayer now joins us on the Home Run and Pizza Hotline. Try one on the grill. It's quick and it's easy. And Tom Thayer with WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 will be getting ready because the big game is tonight, the opening of the exhibition season, followed by the regular season and all the changes that have been made. Tom, you're a local legend. Is this team going to match you for supremacy in Chicago?
I think it's got a chance to be one of the better teams in Chicago Bear history. I really do believe that. Now, there's a lot of things that come into play. You got to have development of certain players in certain positions. You have to have good health throughout the whole season. And you got to get the breaks to go your way. There's so much uncertainty when you open up on a Sunday, then play your biggest rival in their stadium on a Thursday night. So, you know, there's a lot of things to think about before the end of the regular season. But if everything goes according to plan, it can be a very good season.
Help me out here, will you, Tom? Because as a former offensive lineman, Jamarcus Webb, very likable guy. We had a chance to talk to him last week at camp, and you know he gave us the strive for excellence line every other line. But he's selling T-shirts, and you know Mike Tice said the guy needs to show us maturity, shows us how much he wants us, show us that it means something to him, and yet he's tweeting Jamarcus Webb Nation. He's retweeting all the stories that he's won the position and everything else. There's a fine line between confidence and cockiness, and I'm not sure that he hasn't overstepped it already.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I think he's in a battle for the position. But, you know, the unique thing about Jamarcus, I think he's really in a battle with himself because he's got to get smarter about the position. He's got to approach every practice with more enthusiasm, and he's got to get a little bit meaner every single play, whether it's run or pass, short yardage or first down. So I think it's essential that Jamarcus continues to compete with himself to get the best out of him. Eventually, the encouragement of a coach or the battles that you're fighting in practice against competition, they're going to be there. But again, if you don't go out there and play to the best of your ability, you know, Jamarcus is always going to have some difficulty.
Well, everyone believes that just because Mike Martz is gone, everything's going to be a hell of a lot better, if not fixed. But you know, Mike Tice is a new play caller. He obviously knows that schemes can help out a line that's got question marks. But you know, where do you stand in terms of the improvement of the offense just because of the absence of Mike Martz?
Well, I think they're going to break the huddle with a lot more confidence. There's got to be maybe 5 out of 10 pass plays in the Mike Martz offense that you may have a weakness already built into your protection. When you look at the protections that Mike Tice and Jeremy Bates and all the offensive guys, Tim Spencer and Daryl Drake, all of them have put together, when you look at Jay negotiate himself in the pocket, there's always a strength to the pocket. There's always a strength to the protection. There's no glaring weakness unless someone gets beat immediately off the snap of the ball. So, you know, confidently breaking the huddle can do so much for the offensive line and the rest of the protectors just to put confidence in the mind of the receivers and Jay Cutler, which I think is important. But, you know, it is going to take a little bit of time, but from the early indications of camp, I do see him being more confident in the protections called out of the huddle.
Tom, does it matter that Brian Urlacher won't play, that he's been kind of MIA the last week?
No, you know, my concern is Brian to be ready in the first week of September, and given 2 games in 4 days, you want him to be really healthy. I was the type of guy that I didn't care if Brian put on pads until the third or fourth week of training camp. You know, he had a lot of confidence in himself to be ready day one, and he was. Now, I don't care if he doesn't participate in practice again until that maybe that last week of practice or that first week of the regular season practice.
But at the very least, this has been a fluid thing because at the beginning of camp, Lovie said there's no restrictions on him. He was out there, although he was wearing a brace. Then he misses 4 practices, and then he's just not at camp for a couple of days. And, you know, some people say everyone's overreacting, but, you know, he is 34. The injury was eight or so months ago. He didn't have surgery, and, you know, it just seems to be a kind of a moving, you know, the goal line's moving with him. What's exactly going on?
Yeah, you know, no. Every time that you go through any type of knee injury, any knee recovery, any type of body part recovery, mentally there's a period that you got to convince yourself that you're strong enough and you're confident and you're ready to go. And I think those are the early indicators Brian had at the beginning of camp. But I think there's a little bit more strain that goes into the actual performance at camp. So is he confident that his knee is 100% ready to play the season? Yes. Is he 100% ready to go through probably one of the more physical training camps that Lovey has ever put his guys through? Maybe he wasn't to that stage. But maybe that was a little bit of Brian trying to push himself to prove to himself he is ready. But, again, I'm much happier it happened now than it happens in 2.5 to 3 weeks.
How much better will the offense be just with Brandon Marshall? I mean, they've made other improvements, but that guy in particular should be an amazing weapon for Cutler, who's worked with him before.
Right. You know, all 11 guys that play with Brandon Marshall, you hope that they would have career years. But I think one thing Brandon Marshall does is he initiates the threat at the line of scrimmage wherever he lines up. He could line up wide and pull defenders in a safety in his direction. He can line up in a slot and have a lot of inner concerns by the linebackers and the safety, or else he can get in a stacked position with Devin Hester, Earl Bennett, or Alshon Jeffrey and create a confusion matchup at the line of scrimmage. So that's what Brandon does best, is he creates a concern at the line of scrimmage. And when you have a guy like Matt Forte or you have these assistant receivers, it's going to create opportunities for all of them, because Jay's going to be able to initially evaluate what they're doing against Brandon, and then he has the arm strength to go in any direction. So, you know, here as Bears fans, you haven't had that extreme, deep, scary threat from the line of scrimmage since, I'm going to say, Willie Gault, just because he had world-class speed. Now you put Brandon Marshall's speed in there with world-class height, and it is a difference. I'm not saying he has world-class speed like Will Ball, but he does have incredible height and the ability to catch the ball above his head.
What does it mean for the offense to have Jay, maybe it's good or bad, talking about the Denver dynamic, having Jeremy Bates, having Brandon, and having Jay all putting together some of the plays from the Denver offense and implementing that and now being able to audible at the line, but also having Mike Tice as the play caller doing something he's never really done before and not being part of that Denver group? I mean, can that create its own issues, or Mike Tice is such a guy that wants to input and incorporate everyone's opinions and things, he's just going to be, you know, he's going to go by consensus more or less?
Well, you know, it's similar to what Denver's going to go through. They're going to bring Peyton West with them as part of their offense. So it's going to be a part of Peyton Manning, their offensive coordinator, their offensive line coach. And I do think that's the unique thing that Mike Tice has done. He's allowed every coach to incorporate their input. Tim Spencer in the running game, Darrell Drake in the passing game, and then obviously Jeremy Bates and Mike Tice and putting the whole offense together. Every offense that is put together, I think it's better that it's everybody's involved instead of just only coming from one guy. And when it does only come from one guy talking about the March offense of last year, you alienate the coaches if they want to interject, if they think something can work, if they want to take advantage of something. So that's what you're going to have. You're going to have more of an input by everybody, and it puts more emphasis when they're studying tape. It puts more emphasis when they're studying their opponent to see where their weaknesses are. So I think Tice being there and the whole staff is going to be beneficial for each other.
Do you remember the fight between Tice and Richard Dent? Didn't Tice get the better of Richard Dent, beat him up at Soldier Field in a game?
And I doubt it.
No, he did. It's a fact of his life that he apparently got the better of Richard Dent in a fight on the field. Can you imagine if something goes awry with this thing and people start working against him?
No, I don't think that's happening. I think Lovie Smith has done a great job throughout his career as a head coach of keeping everybody together. Now, if you have a coach that kind of puts himself out there on his own planet, that's when you upset the inner dynamic of in the locker room. I don't think it's that way. I think this team has camaraderie. I think there's a closeness that is going to strengthen this team rather than be a wedge between any units, quarterbacks, line, whatever.
What do you expect to see from Henry Melton?
He
says, you know, consistency. Is that enough, or do you have to see double-digit sacks from him?
like I said, on offense with Brandon Marshall, there's guys that have to have career years. I expect Henry Melton, if he's really going to develop into the player that they think he can be, for the next 2 or 3 years, he has to have career years. He's got to double the numbers he had last year. He's got to make tackles for a loss. He has to be the reason that the Bears can play certain defenses because of his effectiveness and penetration. If he can do that, then the defensive style you play can change. If he's getting drove back and double teams and never making penetration, then you're right back to square one trying to find who's going to be that dominating three technique. Henry definitely has the athleticism, but you know you have to have that switch that goes every play, every game, every year. And just talking about a guy that has to have a career year.
You know, obviously, Tom, and we'll let you go and appreciate your time. As you look at where this team's at, there are a lot of different guys that have to perform for them to be where you hope they can get. And there is a lot of guys that are capable of that. Is there any one player that you look at, or a couple of players that you look at that really, you know, the season hinges on their performance? Cutler, with his health and his performance, obviously one of them. Peppers, you can't afford to lose him. I mean, is there anybody that jumps out at you?
You know, I'm most interested to watch Major Wright and Chris Conte play together. And yep. Then that's going to take, you know, play, you know, not only just this game, but down the road. But I think they're going to be challenged this game from Peyton Manning. You obviously want to see what happens with DeMarcus Webb. I'm interested to see how Michael Bush sees the offense, because he's going to see the offense differently than the way Matt Forte sees it. And I think it's going to develop into a nice 1-2 punch. You know, Evan Rodriguez has made catches all over the place, and he's a nice passing matchup. However, if 88 can't be a blocker on the inside, it's really going to lessen the chances to be on the field, because you can't be one-dimensional. And for Evan Rodriguez to develop as a rookie, he's got to be involved in the mix on that run game, so when he is in there in the passing game, he's more deceptive.
All right, Tom, look forward to seeing you tonight.
All right, man, don't eat too much before the game.
Game shape. Getting our game faces on, Tom. Thank you. The Bears analyst, WBBM News Radio 780. They're on 105.9 as well. You can listen to the pregame, which starts at 6:30 tonight. Mully and Hanley on the score.